We are fortunate to have two beautiful babies born into our congregation here recently. And I was able to steal little Drew for a while yesterday and walk around with him during lunch with Santa. And oh, I know that was the tough job of the day. When you get to see a newborn and hold a newborn, especially one who is sleeping, all cozy in their little sleepers, doesn't your heart just melt away at how precious they are? I mean, who couldn't just fall in love with these little angels? But as we know, those precious little moments are certainly not the entire picture. Because if you've ever been around a baby that is sick, a baby that is hungry, a baby that just won't go to sleep, a baby that is screaming and crying and nothing you can do can console them. And no, Janice, I'm not talking about Tim. Or how about those moments when you have a diaper that explodes through three layers of clothes? That is when we find out what love really is, don't we? I'm telling the story with full acknowledgement of Ethan, not with his permission, but with acknowledgement that I was going to tell this. I remember a time when Ethan was just old enough to stand up in his crib. So maybe around 9 months or so. And knowing that we had somewhere important to be, like good parents, we put Ethan down for a nap and tried to let him sleep until the last possible moment. Carla and I got dressed for the event. We had everything packed, and now all we had to do was wake up our precious sleeping child and get him dressed, and then we could leave. Well, it seemed like easy and enough task. I went to wake up my little buddy, only finding him to be standing in his crib with a big old smile on his face. Now, when we put him to sleep, he had just a diaper and a t-shirt on. And there he stood. One side of his diaper was undone. And it was apparently a very full diaper. And let's just say somebody learned the wrong way to finger paint. Oh my, was it everywhere. All I could do was just stand there in shock and holler for Carla. You know that voice? Carla, you need to get up here now. Everything was perfect and on time until this moment. We were going to be late for sure. So we quickly devised a plan. Carla would start the bath water. I would carry the little toxic booger in and wash him up. Then we gathered his bedding and stuffed animals for soaking. We grabbed sponges and towels and disinfected for the crib and the walls. When you look back at moments like that, it's a wonder we had two more. And there is only one thing that could explain it: love. Love is why we endure so many things with our kids, our spouses, our parents, our friends, and our church. And we cannot look at our Christmas story without talking about love. You heard this during our Advent reading, 1 John 4. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We are all familiar with John 3:16, and this says some of the same thing, but I love how John phrased it in this book. And I love especially this part. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. This says a lot about our God. This statement shows us his grace. Because it's not about what we did for God. It's not about how much we've tried to love him. And it's certainly not anything we deserve. And that's why this is real love. God is the source of true love because God first loved us. God, who was willing to send his Son so that we might have love and might have life. A Son that would pay the price for our sins. And that by sending his Son, he showed us that real love requires sacrifice. Love is a word we throw around a lot. Love is a word we use in relationships. But it is also a word we are quick to dismiss when things start going wrong. In order for love to work, we must be willing to make sacrifices. And we see that real love truly comes from God. And for us to truly love him back, we must first be obedient. From Matthew, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Last week, we looked at the many consequences that Mary faced. Both her and her unborn child could lose their lives. And if it was believed that Joseph had been with Mary prior to the completion of their engagement, he too could be considered an adulterer. But here in this verse, through his obedience, we see Joseph's love for God. We see Joseph's love for Mary and Joseph's willingness to sacrifice his own good name. When we talk about love and we talk about obedience to God, it requires us to do the right thing, even when the right thing is hard to do. It can be hard to stand for the right thing. It can be hard to sacrifice our own good name for what is right, especially in the face of heavy opposition, in the face of ridicule and social rejection. It can be very hard to be obedient. And obedient to God means not only do we love him, but we not only love those who love us, but we love the unloved. We love our enemies. Obedience means that we forgive others because we have been forgiven. Obedience means that we serve others before we are served. And in our love story, we see that Joseph's love for God was greater than even his love for Mary. Earlier in the scripture readings, we see that Joseph was a man of grace and that Joseph had some type of love for Mary, because it says, because Joseph, her husband, who was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And I think we can all agree for Joseph to do this was merciful and showed love. However, we find that Joseph's love for God was greater. A law that would later be repeated by Jesus was found here in Joseph: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And because Joseph's love for God was greater, do you see how much more he did for Mary? Joseph was going to quietly divorce her out of love for her. But out of love for God, he took Mary and the baby on as his own. He went from a loving, quiet divorce to a dedicated, willing to risk his own life kind of love for Mary because of his obedience to God. Do you get that? Now, this is a lesson for all of our young people. Young people, are you listening? This is a lesson for all of our single people. This is a lesson for all married people. This is a lesson for anyone with any type of relationship, but especially for you young people who are just learning about love. You must love God above everything. You must love God above everything. Relationships work best when we put God first. When you love God above all, it raises the bar in our relationships. If you want a healthy relationship, if you want to discover true love for someone, start with loving God first. Young people, seek out someone who loves God above you. Couples, love God above each other. Parents, love God above your children. Kids, love God above your parents. If somebody says they love you more than God, think twice. Because their heart is not in the right place. True love comes from God. True love is sacrificial. True love will lay down and do anything for you. And it's not enough to say that we love God. In order to live out the love of God, we must be a people of action. 1 John 3 says this, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You see, love and action go together. Love without action isn't real love. And on the same token, an action without love is meaningless. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Love needs to be at the core of what we do. This passage is often a prelude to what is often referred to as the wedding scriptures. But let me tell you, this wasn't written for a wedding. You know these words, you've heard them at nearly every wedding. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You see, this passage is for everyday living. This passage is for every relationship. And this is what I call a love test. Do you want to test how well you are doing? Now, I'm going to send this out in an email, or you can make your own, but what you should do every day is post this every day where you can read it, maybe in by the mirror in the mornings. And wherever the word love is, or the word it is, referring to love, insert your name there. And you'll read it like this. Scott is patient. Scott is kind. Scott does not envy. Scott does not boast. Scott is not proud. Scott does not dishonor others. And Scott is not self-seeking. Scott is not easily angered. Scott keeps no record of wrongs. Scott does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Scott always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Scott never fails. So how would you do in that test? Did you pass? I think I missed 5 of them just this morning alone. Maybe 6 or 7. What if every day we try to live up to this test? What if every day you came home at night and read through that list to say, I got some work to do. Paul concludes this passage with these words. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If people don't see the love in God's church, then what hope is there? If there is not love for one another, then where is our faith? When we learn to love like God loves, when we learn to be obedient to God, love will raise the bar. Because there's things I'll do for people I love that I won't do for other people. Let's admit it, right? But God says, be obedient. And he took a man who was willing to do the right thing for Mary in that situation and raise the bar. So that's not enough. That's not the love I want you to share. I want you to risk everything, including your good name, your reputation, your ability to make a living. I want you to take on this child that is not yours and raise him as his own. And oh, by the way, no pressure, he's going to be the Messiah. Joseph was a good man. He was going to do the right thing. But do you see what obedience and love for God does? When our love starts with obedience to God, when we're willing to take risks, when we're willing to put our own good name on the line, when we're willing to do things that are unthinkable for people that least deserve it, that's when we know we've made it. That's when we know we can pass the love test. So I challenge you today, are you ready to love God? Are you ready to love each other? And are you ready to love those who have no one else to love them? Certainly something for this Christmas season. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we grow up and we think we know what love is, we certainly learn as we grow and mature that love is not always what we think it is. But Lord, when we look at your holy word and we look at all the things you have done for your people throughout history, that you have had a love for your people, you have had a love for all your creation, and you had a desire that all people would come to you and call you Father. Desire that all people one day would call you Lord. And Lord, because of that, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. You sent your Son to demonstrate and live out what a life of love is supposed to look like. And Lord, your Son was obedient even unto death, knowing that what he gave was for the greater good of all. Lord, may we model that this Christmas season. May we give above what we think we should give. May we hear what you are telling us to do. Allow us to give something surprising to someone who doesn't even expect it. Allow us to find someone in need, and without even knowing who it came from, let us find ways to just anonymously give someone a gift of hope. Let them know that there are people out there that love them. But more importantly, Lord, let us live out our lives in such a way that people see your love through us. They see it in the way that we honor you. They see it in the way that we honor each other. And they see it in the way that we serve and love others, even to those we call our enemies. Lord, this is a great and joyous season. Let your love abound. Let your love be a gift to all that we meet. This we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.